This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. International Women's Day occurred March 8, 2026, a global day of celebrating the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. The day also marks a call to action for accelerating gender equality. Visiting Prince George Clalie Tinay that very day was Dr. Rima Ferris, a limited-term lecturer at Simon Fraser University in Vancouver. Dr. Ferris holds a PhD in gender, sexuality, and women's studies.
Because if people start reading less, and they rely more on social media, which is still kind of a media tax, but they're only getting one sort of representation, then we've got a real problem because you're limiting their imagination. So
her presentation at Books & Co. reflected her research, which suggests happily ever after and happy for now stories, present not only in books and literature, but pop culture and media overall, influence readers' expectations of intimate relationships and inform their understandings of what it means to be in love and to love. Over time, reality and experience adjust those expectations, but another issue Rima grapples with is the coupling imperative in public discourse that amounts to an erasure of the single woman and obscures the potentials and possibilities of alternate social arrangements. Following her discussion at Books & Co. in downtown Prince George Clalie Tinay, we dove into a conversation with Dr. Ferris to explore some notions that International Women's Day 2026 brought forward.
And you've been clear, in my opinion anyway, but you've been clear that the traditional choice of heterosexual marriage and children is not wrong. It's in fact healthy, but one size does not fit all. And what feels fulfilling for one person's life may not align with their neighbors and so on. Assuming that position, but in the Northern BC context, what are some of the ways in which women or any interested person for that matter can reconsider their environment, the media that surrounds them, the relationships modeled for them, etc., to just better consider their options to perhaps move in a more fulfilled direction?
Thank you for that question, a very big one. I wanted to just share a small anecdote. There was one time I was driving with my son and I was ranting and raving about some of my views that I've come to through study about marriage and heterosexuality and so forth and so on. And he said to me, he said, "Mom," I said, "What?" He said, "You do realize some people may choose to get married." And I went, "Oh." And that changed my perspective because it was very much as you said. I'm not after telling anybody how to live their life. I'm just trying to get at people live their lives very differently, and can we make space for different forms of social organization? So if someone wants to choose to marry, great. If someone chooses to be single, can we let them be single? And then what are the systems and structures and the aspects of the institutions around us that govern our lives that we have to change to make that person who chooses being single treated equitably as much as someone who's chosen to marry, right? So at the end of the day, it really is about this idea of letting people live their lives as they choose to live their lives without being punished for choosing a path that by some people is seen as untraditional or not good. You know that moral judgment?
It may divert from the norm that we've come to expect.
Right. And then we have to understand, well, how did this norm come about? Right? Because I think a lot of people just assume that's the way it is. And in the context of Canada, a lot of what we understand as gender, a lot of what we understand as patriarchal society, those were colonially imposed ideas that came through colonization. That reflects a settler ideology, right? And so we need to question why all of a sudden is this, whatever it is, understood as the norm, which might indicate we don't even know the history of where we're from and the places around us.
Kind of peeling back the ideas of why are we where we're at? Why do we think the things we think in the first place before we begin looking at certain decisions as either right or wrong?
Right, exactly, right? So, for example, if you look at the question of gender and sexual identity within the indigenous communities, there was a lot of allowance for Two-Spirit, for example, as an identity, although I recognize that Two-Spirit is also language that's been given for an experience that wasn't part of the mentality of the people who came over, right? So even the way we understand gender, even the way we understand sexuality, those are imposed standards and norms that come through history. And so we have to allow for different ways of being and understand that this idea that there's only one way to be is actually not reflective of what historically was the reality.
You know, not to be prescriptive, but you know, what trending media do you see as reinforcing, say, like a more narrow set of options versus perhaps what you see expanding options for women?
Thank you for that. I'll try not to get into trouble on this one. There's a couple of interesting trends that I've noticed on social media, for example. So one is about having very large families. And again, I'm not someone who's going to oppose anybody's choice to have a child, but there's a lot of privilege entailed in having many children. And that's never communicated by these social influencers who are using their children to build their following because then they start earning money, right? So again, they're earning money to support their children, but on the other hand, they're using their children to earn the money to support them with. It gets very, very confusing. But a lot of times these folks on social media are portraying this as are doing God's work on earth. And again, if that's your faith, if that's your belief, that's fine. But if you start applying that to other people and they're not doing what you're doing, you start to dismiss them. You start to make them lesser than you are. You start to judge them as not being as good as you. And I don't think that's fair, right? I don't think that someone is a good person or a bad person because they've decided to have a child or not. So that's one of those. Then again, these social media influencers that are reinforcing this notion that to be the ultimate woman, you have to perform femininity a certain way. Again, that becomes exclusionary because you're saying there's one way to be a good person, and that's not what it is. So for people to see beyond that one message, it means about varying their media diet. So read more widely. Look at different sources. Read memoirs of people whose experiences are dramatically different than yours, because that gives you an eye into the different ways of being in the world.
Whether we are in northern BC or elsewhere, that's one of the things that we can all do is read wherever we are. There are so many different options to find and expand that worldview and see different options. That seems to be kind of a fulcrum point of your research. Is that accurate?
Right. And I think that, again, it's not only about reading memoirs of people on the other side of the world. That's great. But have you read memoirs of people in your own community who have a different experience? So have you read memoirs of folks who've immigrated to northern BC? Have you read what it's like for them? Because if you read what it's like for them, it might open your eyes to things that you might have to address in your own community. So it's not just about looking elsewhere. It's even understanding where we are in a particular moment, let alone, as we talked about, the history that shaped the place that we occupy or that we live in.
This isn't necessarily a focus of your research, but what changes do you see working for northern communities? Is there any aspect of, I don't know, whether it's changes in our pop culture, changes or options available in media around us, anything that seems to be clicking in that area of northern communities?
Well, again, I don't want to get in trouble for being the person that comes from away and then says what people ought to do. But one of the things that I've heard that causes me a bit of concern, which is not only in northern BC, it's elsewhere, is the pressures on higher education right now. So any time that you have attrition in programs at colleges or at universities, that doesn't serve the community really well. So that's something that I hope people here will lobby for, is maybe looking how they can support the educational institutions here, because it becomes a matter of access. And if people don't have access, and I realize in the middle of saying that people might say, oh, well, there's online learning. online learning is not the same as in-person learning. It works for some people, it doesn't work for everybody. And so again, I think that if we believe in better for Northern BC or anywhere else in the world, it is tied to education. So I'm really concerned about seeing the way that education is being pushed back at, that people are having to drop programs, they're having to lay off staff. Those are very concerning issues. So I hope people will do what they can to ensure the health of the education sector here in Northern BC.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today here at Books & Co.
Thank you. Thanks again.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.